Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am, as always, and I say this all the time, deeply grateful you chose to be with me. And I really am. This program is being aired for the 17th of July, 2022. And I am humbly grateful that you take the time to even listen to what I have to offer because, well, you know, it's not popular. It is up for debate for most people, and they don't simply understand the nature of their life, which they attribute to the idea of their living. So we think how we live is life, and it's not true. How we live brings us to the conclusion of life and what we think life is or should be. We try to interpret it. There's all sorts of crazy things we do, but we miss for the most part because we're so busy being, in my opinion, all of us, narcissistic about our living. We live to get, to have, to pleasure, to survive. And that is a sad commentary on most of us, and with most of us, we just don't get it. Today, we're going to end this week on the future. And with everything that is going on in this world, with all of the trials and tribulations that are going on, I get, two or three emails a day from listeners who say, you know, what about this and what about that? And what's going to happen if this occurs and all of that? I don't know if you understand this, but I am not a soothsayer. I cannot predict the future. I live right here, right now, and in this right here and in this right now, there is a presence that engulfs me and allows me to sit here with you week after week to talk to you about things that we can all understand in the sense of words and grammar and syntax and all that other good stuff, but not really understand in our hearts. And that is the issue that most of us are working on, the issue of not being able to really comprehend what we're doing now will eventually manifest in what will happen in the future. And it will. And that's why everybody wants to talk about the future. So while we're on that subject, let's go to Carol. And Carol does not tell me where she lives. She says, the state of humankind is not good. What would you have us do to change it? And then she goes into a litany of things that have to do with, changing human habits and going into the ecology of it all. And then at the end of her email, she talks about, is there anything we can do spiritually? It's as if we'll do all these physical things and get them done. And then, oh, by the way, is there anything spiritual we can do? Which is the way most people think. The last thing that they are thinking about in the course of their lifetime is the state of their own awareness of the mystical that lives within each of us and all around us. But we just don't get that. We don't understand it. We're not much interested in it. So we relegate it off to religion or philosophy, and that's as far as it goes. So let me try to help you a little bit here. Again, I want you to understand, Carol, I am not a fortune teller. I do not know what the future will hold. If you had told me 10 years ago that gender issues were going to be huge among young people, I wouldn't have thought that to be possibility. But that goes to show you what I know. I don't know. What do I know? Probably nothing. So why are you listening to me? Why are you asking me these questions? Let's kind of go into it. I represent a part of every single human being that is spiritual, that is the mystic, that has the mystical that lives within them. And while that doesn't seem to hold much weight with people due to the fact that they're looking for a god with skin on, they're looking for a soothsayer, as I say, they're looking for their future and trying to make it comfortable, they're trying to make it, shall we say, survivable. And with all of that being said, they look to different people, me, others like me maybe, that would give them advice as to how to have a great future. But that's not the way life works, and that's not the way we exist in this worldly, I guess you would call it a life. I don't know if I would call it a life, but that's what we like to call it. So what does it mean for any of us to look at our future? It is futile. It is silly. It's a waste of time. The basic premise of all of this is in the hopes of something better to happen to us. You and I are only going to experience ourselves and what we have or have not accomplished from within ourselves in our daily life. Our daily life is very important. We go from daily life to daily life, from moment to moment. And in each and every moment is the key to something greater that lives within us that is far more beautiful than what our minds can project and our bodies can actually produce. There's something beyond all of that. That's something that I speak of lives as a purity within us. It has to be cultivated. And the reason it has to be cultivated is because, for the most part, very few people in this world are much interested, are you ready? In love. In the goodness of love. They're just not interested. One of the hardest things that I have to deal with my students, as well as people around me who are, I have counselees who are not students. They're kind of nomads, and they like to think of themselves as nomads, and they go shopping for a philosophy that they like, and yada da yada da, and nothing ever really gets accomplished. But until I recognize the state of my own heart, that it is in each and every moment that the heart has presence within me, has influence upon me, and I am willing to separate from the Gregory in a psychological, emotional way, where I'm no longer at the beck and call of his whims and his basic, forgive me, stupidity, which is immense. I make no progress. There is no progress in this lifetime of living our life in the confines of the human psyche. Now, if you read Robert Sapolsky's book, Behave, you will learn a great deal, Carol, about the future. You will start to realize that this human carcass of ours creates all sorts of mischief and havoc. And if I am devoted to this carcass and the mind that makes the carcass run and gives it excuses and all sorts of alibis for whatever it wants to do and gives it a life through the persona of an ego, then you might know it's going to be a very rough go. Very rough. So I have to ask myself, is this where my life ends? With me being terribly unconscious, is this where the meaning and the significance of my life ends, surrounded by the attributes of my genetic nature, my father, my mother, and their grandparents, and all of that other great stuff? Is this as far as it goes? And for the most part, yeah, people are pretty proud of their families. I don't know why, but they are. We are just a human race. And where are we racing to? Well, we think there's some kind of finish line where we can come to a place where there is, shall we say, the glory of money and the glory of ease and comfort, the what people would call the good life. So as long as, Carol, you and I tend to live out of our human nature and as human beings and try to correct the human nature and the human beingness of us, we're going to miss. I had a student, I was sitting there in session yesterday, and this student has been with me for eons, very stubborn, very stubborn woman. Arrogant, thinks that arrogance is the sign of self-worth and confidence. Well, this student's body is breaking down now, and there's all sorts of pain all over her body based on how she lived her life, and she lives in a denial. And with all of this, she turned to me and said, I guess I better start getting serious about my spiritual practice. And I said, with all the years you've been with me, and I've told you you can't change her, now, due to the fact of a great deal of pain in your body, you think that you can just turn this boat around and sail in the other direction, spiritually speaking, and that will be enough. And she said, I don't know. Well, of course, it isn't going to work. Her life and the future of her life as she sees it is a combination of a old age and pain and the misuse of a lifetime, a whole misuse. Her youth was wasted on drugs and alcohol. And now all of a sudden she thinks that maybe her spiritual practice is her drug and her alcohol, and that it can turn things around for her. This mentality that people have about their life and their future is, to say the least, stupid. Really stupid. Well, that's the end of that. So you have to understand, Carol, what this is all about. This is about love. This world, this lifetime. And until I am willing to transcend into love, I have very, very little to deal with as far as the meaning on and the consistency of love. I hope that helps you, Carol. If you need more, you can always email me. Please forgive me. Namaste. Last question comes from Adam. This is really a good question. Is love enough? Adam does not tell me where he lives. Yes, love is everything. And the reluctance that I find people having with love is based on their assumption that emotional love, human love, is all they have. To go beyond that, to go beyond human love, takes a great deal of energy, takes a great deal of kindness, takes a great deal of love, real love, and the energy that is love, the rasha of love. And I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to anyway. If you're not interested in that kind of love, then you have missed your entire life and you have made it a mockery, because the only reason we are here, Adam, is for the sake of love. And that includes anything that gets in the way of it, such as hatred and fear, prejudice. All of that has to be released and forgiven. We have to enter into the mystical realm of love, which is immense kindness and compassion, which most people, I dare say, are not much interested in. Gotta go. Anyway, thank you for your question, Adam, and I hope I was able to help you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, that's my shtick for today. I have more for next week for you. If you have any questions, you can always email me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And again, as always, please forgive me. Namaste.